Well, it being very close to April Fool's, I scheduled a sermon on being a fool. And I was writing that sermon as, bless you, when I say it, it counts. I was writing that sermon and it was just flowing beautifully. I was having such a good time and it was going so fast, and all of a sudden, it started to look familiar. So I opened up my computer and I did a search on Fool and found that 3 years ago I wrote the same sermon. Boy, talk about feeling foolish. And when I say I wrote the same sermon, I mean it was scary. I wrote the same sermon. Word for word, paragraph for paragraph. Apparently being a fool is ingrained deeply in my neural pathways. Don't worry, I'm not giving the sermon that you heard 3 years ago. I have to say I was impressed by my memory of remembering the sermon and scared by my lack of memory about having delivered the sermon. But, you know, I only give it. I don't have to listen, so that's probably why that happened. I told my wife about that, and I said, you know, honey, I just feel very strange about that and very foolish. And she said, well, I mean, you are a perfect fool, dear. And there were two ways to understand that comment, and I chose the more benign because I do know something about being a fool. You know, as the great Sam Cooke sang, he didn't know much biology. I may not know an awful lot of theology. I didn't memorize the Bible. But I know something firsthand, up close and personal, about being a fool in all of the senses of the word fool. Because it's a complex word. We think about it as, well, something's foolish. It's connected to folly. I felt like a fool. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. It was a foolish mistake. It has an idea of incompetency, of idiocy. And I want to tell you the payoff to the sermon is, last paragraph, is our problem is not too many fools. Our problem is too many idiots. And there's a big difference, and I hope to explain that. Being a fool is a noble calling. Because the fool is somebody who reveals truths, who speaks truth to power, who makes the truth appear beneath the surfaces that establishments just can't or won't penetrate. Fools are people who are willing to try to convey a truth. And part of their job description, strangely and ironically enough, is to be taken seriously. Fools and prophets have some difference between them. Prophets are very concerned about the truth. They have a deep, usually eternal truth that is almost always highly critical of the establishment, and they stand at the edges of the camp or of the congregation or of the community, and they rail about all of the terrible mistakes that are going on, and oftentimes they're right. However, it's not a real good job because most prophets don't end well. Most prophets do not die of natural causes in ripe old age, but they are forced into an early meeting with their maker because they've annoyed people in power. But for the prophet, the truth is all, and speaking that truth is all, and not whether they succeed, not whether they survive, not whether they are martyred, not whether they are made saints. They are bound to the integrity of their vision. When I was a very young person being ordained as a Unitarian Universalist minister, the president of my seminary, Bob Kimball from Starr King Seminary in Berkeley, spoke my ordination charge, and he charged me to be a prophet, to be in the tradition of Saul and Paul, and to speak truth to power regardless of the consequences. Truth and consequences. And it struck me, and it may have been a bad sign, that I'm probably the only clergy person in the history of the world, even in a Unitarian Universalist setting, to have argued with the charge to the minister. And I said to Dr. Kimball, Bob, you know, I am honored that you would compare me with Saul, Paul, and acknowledge my heritage. But if I remember, at least, if not the book, at least the movie version, wasn't he decapitated? I thought this was a celebration as opposed to a suicide pact. And if you don't mind, I would just as soon be the fool as the prophet. Because the fool also speaks, juggles, sings, acts truth to power, but in a way that hopefully, though not always, think of the fool in Lear, at least has the possibility of survival. And one of the reasons for that is that the fool often doesn't do it completely straight. The fool does it with misdirection. Remember that fool is also a verb. You can fool people. You can appear to be speaking gibberish and be revealing truth. You can, in some circles, appear to be speaking truth and doing gibberish. And the fool's job is to make you question what is the gibberish and what is the wisdom. The fool's job is to get people to think outside of the box, not just to accept the story in the headlines or the interpretation from the pulpit or the interpretation over television of the news, but to think beneath the surfaces, to try to find some truths underneath that are deeper than just the story and the spin. Prophets and fools both stand to some extent outside the camp, but the fool, as jester, infiltrates, is subversive, has a place in the court where, with some care and crafting, can get the message through sometimes, not all of the time, but to make people with power, and in this country, everyone here has power, to make people think and examine and re-examine our assumptions and the world of appearances. Fools, in some ways, are like impressionist painters. They distort with jibes and jokes and songs and, well, and language that seems silly at times. They distort the regular ways of communicating, but like an impressionist painter, as you stand back from it, you see a different sense of reality. It is a different kind of truth that you get from the fool. And God knows we need fools and we need prophets. Our world is a world of spin, a world where things are interpreted to us and words don't mean what we think that they mean. We have Clear Skies initiatives that are legalized, putting more toxins into the air. We have weapons that are called peacemakers. At least the old Widowmaker was some truth in advertising. We are not sure what is, depending on the context of is, so I'm not being partisan about this. All sides and all establishments try to spin things into their own advantage and use deception. And the fool's job is to penetrate the deception with deceptive laughter. And laughter is so important because it is, as the fool, subversive. It gets inside through our defenses. If I give you a rational argument about my point of view, whether it's political or religious, I can watch you formulating your answer, filtering the content, and basically judging my argument against your argument. But if I make you laugh, if a fool makes you laugh, if a jester makes you laugh, something has gotten through the defenses and you have been moved. And whether you liked the joke or not, whether you liked the fool or not, we have something that we have to deal with that reveals something about ourselves. What makes us laugh? What makes us cry? What makes us angry? What makes us feel loving and empowered and ready to embrace our world? The fool tries to get to an emotion as opposed to a logical argument. The fool tries to bring truth. In our world, we do have prophets, but I don't think that they're in the religious tradition for the most part. Religions have an awful lot of difficulty changing and adjusting and saying I was wrong or a policy was wrong. The Roman Catholic Church at the moment is kind of in limbo about limbo because they decided that the people who've been in limbo for the last 2,000 years aren't there anymore because it wasn't. And, well, anyway, it goes along something having to do with fish on Friday also, except you can now, and the people that were in limbo because they ate meat on Fridays are out of limbo, but there was no limbo. And so what happens theologically is there's a lot of misdirection, but you seldom get good laughs within the church on that kind of misdirection because people just can't say, oops, that was a silly idea. We tried that for 1,000 years, and, you know, it's not really working out so well, so we're just going to drop it. And then you can't say, well, we just dropped it because that makes you look like you were wrong when you were supposed to be infallible. And people who are parents know the problem with that. Very hard to admit that you were wrong when you've been marketing yourself as infallible for all those years. Of course, the kids never bought it. Right, Aaron? I didn't think so. Human beings just have trouble admitting when we're wrong. And we have trouble responding to a logical argument. But we need prophets to tell us the truth so that we can respond. And we need fools. I think the prophets today, brace yourself, I think they're in the media. I think the prophets are the people out there in the field, 84 of whom so far have been martyred trying to bring the story of our current wars to the American people. And that's a big number. That's a big number of human beings who died trying to get stories. All right. Some were interested in ratings. Some were in it for the adventure. But the truth and the deeper truth is people put themselves at risk to tell the truth as they experienced it. And that's a holy kind of calling. And whether it's somebody from a conservative network or a liberal one, whether it's somebody from the Muslim world or the Christian world or the Jewish world, it takes guts to be a prophet. Prophets don't have to be right. They just have to be uncaring of their lives and willing to find the message more important than the individual. And those people deserve respect because we need to hear facts so that we can determine truths. But we also need fools. And we have fools, but not nearly enough. In my generation, there was Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul, who spoke their own truths and made people think and examine their feelings about religion, about sexuality, about politics. There's Bill Maher, who may be on the border of being both a martyr and a fool, since he says he's the only person who ever lost his job because of 9/11, which is true. There's on the conservative side of the spectrum, there's Dennis Miller. And whether I agree with him or not, he sees the absurdities and the humor and tries to move people and get people to have that visceral response to his point of view. We have on the female side from Moms, Mabley, who talked about what it was like to be a black woman in the 40s and 50s. And Sandra Tsing Lo, who's on NPR and holds up the truth of our contemporary society, of a certain segment of contemporary society, to the laughter that we get with the insight that it's true. And fools only connect when they are speaking some variety of truth. Otherwise, it's not real foolery, it's just silliness. But the good fools, the wise fools, the sacred fools, try to get us to see and to feel the truth that they want to share with us. Let me give you a concrete example in closing. At Christmas every year, I do one reading, which is Christmas is for Children. And it says, only children can look at the wonders of Christmas with wide-eyed innocence and without having to question all the facts, they can go for the deeper truths. Only children can give freely from the heart without cares about cost. That there's an innocence in childhood. And childhood isn't about height, it's about attitude. And I think that for the fool, like the child, can speak an innocent kind of truth. You know, children are always embarrassing us, and we always embarrassed our parents when we were kids. They'll ask the person in the wheelchair why they're in the wheelchair. They'll talk about the port wine birthmark on the person's face that grown-ups would never mention. They see things and they are immediate in their innocence. Seems to me that the job of the fool, and the payoff is let's all be fools, is that the fool can find ways to illustrate the deep truths. We have the wonderful story of the emperor's new clothes. And of course the emperor is stark naked and nobody will tell the emperor the truth because the emperor doesn't want to hear the truth. The prophet stands out there and says,
Emperor, you're naked. The emperor has no clothes. The emperor is starkers. There goes the naked emperor.
Well, there goes the prophet. Because that prophet will probably not live to prophesy another day. What the fool does is undress and walk in front of the crowd stark naked, taking some chance, I'll admit, but saying, you know, I go to the same tailor as the emperor. Draw your own conclusions. Not taking that literally, but only figuratively. Let's all be fools for the year.